Lies, damn lies, and statistics. Lies, everybody's heard this. Sometimes people argue about where it comes from, but it's a good set of ideas to use to work forward from. Let's make some distinctions. Lies are lies of fact. The only way to avoid being lied to is to know more than the liar. And that means you got to do the work. In graduate school, that means reading and reading and reading and reading. Seek out both sides. The more you read, the more you understand not only what the opinion is, but the context in which the opinion occurs, the better you're going to know things. Know enough history about what it is you're looking at. Is this really a new idea? Is this an idea that's come around before? When it came around before, was it a good idea or a bad idea? Why did it fade out? Did it fade out because it was a bad idea or a better idea came along? Or did it fade out just because a new idea came along? Because not everything we turn to is better. Sometimes we turn to things just because they're new. Learn where to double check both sides. It is always difficult to call into question something that you like, or something that you've worked towards, or something that agrees with something else that you know, or somebody else that you know. But you have to get used to the habit of checking both sides and considering multiple perspectives. Expect advocacy. Academics sometimes complain about people in the real world as being motivated to protect themselves and their products and things like that. And so, therefore, they have this motivation to maybe not be completely honest because they got something to protect. In academics, we have things to protect too. The last study we published, the series of studies, the grant we have, the center we just opened, our reputation, our theories, our textbooks. All of those things get protected, and we have to make absolutely certain that we are paying attention to the dangers and the problems with advocacy, both ours and other people's. It's okay to be an advocate as long as that advocacy is honest and complete and forthright. And that gets tough the more complicated things become. Know the arguments for and against both sides. This is something we're going to talk about a lot, and even more when we move out of methods and into stats. Because as we'll talk about, some things are math. Math. There's one version, the math version. There's one version. Other times, there are deeply held conventions. For example, p less than 0.05, strongly held convention, always some concern about the accuracy of that convention, but it's a strongly held convention that's supported and upheld in most publication journals. Then there are competing conventions. When there's more than one way of doing something, and sometimes different research communities have different preferences, they have different standards, they have, if you will, different advocacies. Also, for lies and damn lies, or for lies, particularly for lies, you've got to separate what is said from what you're supposed to hear. Very often, people don't actually lie, they just say something, hoping that what you'll carry away from that is what they want you to hear. They couldn't say it because that might be a lie, but they still hope that that's what you'll hear and maybe carry it away. And also there's the notion of do the math. Take a second, do the math, consider what the math's trying to tell you. For example, Domino's 2-minute guarantee. We've seen the commercials. Well, let's enlarge part of the fine print. It says, 2-minute countdown begins after you check in and your order is ready. Whoa, there's a lot going on there. A lot of weasel words there. There are a lot of ways to define delivery time. Probably the most interesting is how long after the order is placed until the pizza is in your hands. This isn't that. This also isn't, you will have your pizza within 2 minutes of arriving at Domino's. But that's what you're supposed to hear. And when you ask people, what the Domino's promise is, that's what many people repeat back. That's not what was said, but that's what they heard, or more at least that's what they carried away. This is, within 2 minutes of closing the pizza box, we'll start to head towards the door with it if you've checked in. So I asked a couple of students that I know who work at Domino's, because I'm a Domino's person. I go to Domino's. I like Domino's. So how's this work? I said, well, the way this works is when I finish boxing up a pizza and I close that box and then I have to clear that space to bring the next box in, I move the box over to the right, which is towards the door. And I have begun to bring the box to you within 2 minutes of it being done. I finish it, I put it in a box, I move it over, and we've satisfied the 2 minutes. Because all it says is, 2 minute countdown after you check in and your order is ready. We will start towards the door with the pizza. Let's take a look at, do the math. Here's a classic from the web. You can often find this on parenting websites. This is a lot about the relationship between children, waterbeds, and sharp objects. A king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 2 inches deep. Seems sort of hard to believe, but you keep hearing it, so, you know, maybe. Let's do the math. 2,000 square feet of water 2 inches deep. 2 inches is 1/6 of a foot. So we take 2,000 square feet and divide that by 6, which means we're talking about 333 cubic feet of water. How big would a waterbed mattress have to be to hold 333 cubic feet of water? Well, to keep the math simple, let's say a waterbed is usually about a foot deep and 7 feet top to bottom. How wide would that waterbed have to be to fill up 333 cubic feet of water? It would have to be about 47 feet wide. That's a big waterbed. That's a party waterbed. That's a 1970s waterbed, when waterbeds first came out and everybody thought it was kind of cool to float there and bounce around and be slightly seasick while you're drinking. The math is simple, but you have to remember to stop and check. Of course, you have to be able to do the math correctly. Let's take a look at this Ma and Pa kettle clip and see if we can't see an example of the math.
I figure 75% to you, Pa and Ma, and 25% divided between the five of us. Yinda, Crowbar, myself, Tom, and the baby. That makes 5% for each one of us.
Billy, you're cheating yourself. If there's 25% divided among the five of you, that's 14% apiece.
Oh, no, listen, Pa. I wouldn't cheat you. You know I wouldn't. Now, look here. I'll show you. Let me run this out here. Now, 25 divided by 5 is 5. You see, 5 won't win a 2, will it? No. But 5 goes into 25 5 times, you see?
Oh, you're wrong, Billy. Now, I'm pretty good mathematician. Now, 5 into 25, 5 won't go into 2, will it?
No.
But 5 goes into 5 once. Now, we didn't use the 2 before, so we bring it down here. Now, 5 into 20 goes 4 times. There you are. 5 into 25, 14.
No, look, Pa. Now, let me prove it to you now by multiplication. 5 times 5. 5 times 5 is 25.
Well, I'm surprised you're learning.
Huh?
I'm surprised that you're learning. Now, I'll show you. 5 times 14 is 25. 5 times 4 is 20. 5 times 1 is 5. 25. That's it.
No, look, Ma. See, look, you're wrong there, because I'll prove it to you. We'll put down 5 14s here. 14, 14, 14. There, now I'll prove to you by addition that the 5 14s is not 25. 4, 8, 12, 16, 20,
21, 22, 23, 24, 25. There you are. Now to brush up, Billy, and I want to see you boys cheat.
There you go. You can do the math, but it really helps to do the math right. All right. Damn lies. Damn lies are the really important ones. Damn lies are the ones that we're going to focus on this part of the course, which is about research methods. Damn lies is all about setting up the data collection to produce the results that you want. Damn lies occur when the data are collected in such a way as to produce the desired results. The data are correct, but lies are being told. See, lying with statistics is dangerous because the data set's sitting there, and somebody else can analyze that data set and point out that you've told lies with statistics. Sometimes it's debatable, sometimes it's arguable, sometimes. But the really good lies are the damn lies that are told with the way the data are collected. And there's four kinds I want you to be familiar with. Pick your results by picking a biased sample. Misrepresent the groups being compared. The comparison doesn't match the claim. And using the wrong design. So, if the sample doesn't represent the population, then the results aren't going to represent either. Politics is an easy example. Democrats and Republicans differ on most political topics and choices. Ever wonder how both parties can offer polling data showing that people prefer their position? It's because different places, different cities, states, regions have different mixes of Republicans and Democrats. So by picking where I conduct my poll, I can likely control what the opinion of the polled people is going to be. By knowing who tends to live there and going to the right place, I can produce a set of results that anybody can analyze and support what I'm claiming. They accurately report the results, but there's a damn lie being told because of how the sampling was done. Damn lies by sampling. Geico says people who switch to them save money. So does Progressive. So does State Farm. So does Allstate. They're all telling the truth, but they're all telling damn lies. First of all, they're only telling you about people who switched. Who switches and loses money? So obviously the people who switch. Yes. Yes. Sometimes they even say those who switched and saved money. Let's see if we got this right. The people who saved money saved money. Awesome. Second, they never say for a comparable policy because they don't dare. Whether you stay with the same company or move to another company, I guarantee you it's going to be cheaper if you raise your deductible. But it's not cool to say if you raise your deductible, your annual fee will be less. We just say when you come over here and change your deductible, your fee will be less. And third, companies target different demographics. Different companies are better for people in different stages of life, different parts of the country, different situations, all that stuff. But they never say that during the ad. They always make it sound like you and people like you will save. And so you have to read through the crap and think about what are the damn lies that come by picking who they're representing the data from. This is one of my favorite bad commercials ever. Let me make a statement. I have no problem with Subaru. I have no problem with Subaru Foresters. Wonderful cars. I'm complaining about just one commercial. Here's the statement. Subaru Forester, better gas mileage than any mid-sized SUV. Sometimes all you get is one word to let you know that there's a damn lie being told, that there's a comparison being made here that isn't a fair comparison. And sometimes it's a word that's present, and sometimes, like this time, it's a word that's absent. The thing here is there is a word missing, and the absence of that word should let you know that they're making a false comparison. What's the word? The word is other. Better gas mileage than any other mid-sized SUV would claim that we're comparing the Subaru Forester to other mid-sized SUVs. But if I leave out the word other, all I'm saying is we're comparing Subaru Forester to other SUVs. And if you look here at this chart, you will notice that Subaru Foresters are not mid-sized SUVs. Mid-sized SUVs are larger on five different dimensions. They seat more people. They have more horsepower. Comparing a Subaru Forester to mid-sized SUVs is a little better than comparing a Subaru Forester to an M2 Abrams battle tank, but not much. You have to watch for what is the comparison being made and how you feel about that comparison. Is it a legitimate comparison or is it an illegitimate comparison? So here's another commercial that I want to show you that is a tremendous example of a bad comparison.
Few things are more tragic than watching a fabulous essential die slow death in the wash. That's why you want these two essentials, Tide Total Care and Downy Total Care. They go beyond cleaning and softening to help keep your clothes like new. Unbelievable, right, ladies? Even after 50 washes, the Tide and Downy Total Care outfit is perfect and the other is sad. Thank you, ladies. And the best part is the guarantee. If you're not happy, you'll get your money back. So help keep all of your everyday essentials like new and try Total Care.
All right, I'm going to claim that this is a damn lie. What's the lie? The lie is in the comparison they made. Critique the claim. At 20 seconds, he says, help keep your clothes like new. 33 seconds in, help keep your everyday essentials like new. Like new. That means we should compare a new piece of clothing with one that's been washed 30 times in Tide Total Care. But that's not what they do. Look at the comparison that they make at 25 seconds. After 30 washings is perfect and the other is sad. They're supposed to be comparing 30 washes in Tide with no washes. What they're doing is they're comparing 30 washes in Tide with 30 washes in something else. Lord only knows what, it could be Clorox bleach. And so this is an example of a bad comparison that produces a damned lie. The Arm & Hammer toothpaste commercial. This is my new favorite. Let's check this out.
Okay. Oh. Yes. I'm definitely gonna switch to Arm & Hammer.
My teeth look crazy clean.
Sold.
All right. Let me recharacterize this commercial a little bit. We just grabbed a bunch of dental students, hand them a toothbrush and some Brand X toothpaste, said, go brush your teeth. Now, if these are dental students, I think there's a really good chance that they haven't used a manual toothbrush for a while. They've got the spiffy stuff at home. They're using the mechanical toothbrush. They're using the electronic toothbrush. They're trying to decide between the faster and the harder. And then we hand them a regular toothbrush and say, brush your teeth. So they kind of brush your teeth. Then we give them a disclosing tablet. And in essence, what we're pointing out is, oh, you, dental student, you can't brush your teeth very well. But we're going to give you another chance to brush your teeth so you don't look like an idiot. Now, we're going to give you another toothpaste. Don't you think that at this point, this second act of brushing their teeth is a grudge match? They got embarrassed by this crappy brushing job they did the first time. All of those disclosing tablet marks on their teeth, and here you hand them an opportunity for redemption. Here's another toothbrush. It's got another toothpaste on it. Don't worry about that. This is not a fair comparison. The toothpaste in the first step and the toothpaste in the second step are the difference we're supposed to focus on, but there's other differences here, in particular, a motivation to perform better the second time. And son of a gun, they do. This is an inappropriate comparison. It's an example of why we have to be so very careful running with in-groups designs, longitudinal designs, and we'll look carefully at this when we get to the designs part of our show. Statistical lies. Statistical lies involve actually incorrect or inaccurate presentations of the data. There's three basic kinds. Questionable, interesting spelling, questionable measurement, misleading presentation, and my absolute favorite, and the one I claim is the most common of all of these things, only telling part of the story. Here's an interesting example of being careful how you define things to produce the results you want. This happens to be data. Can only be so accurate without violating laws. But this is from the very first court trial that I was ever an expert witness. So I kind of like this one. Subject won election on A sheriff won election on a platform that I will reduce violent crimes. During the campaign for the election 4 years later, his adversary reported that violent crimes had risen from 2,100 to 3,550, so the sheriff should be voted out. And here's the data. Well, let's look at the data. Notice, if you will, that murders went down, assaults went down, robberies went down, burglaries went down, theft went down, but violent crimes went up. Now, how can that be? Well, what happened was, between elections, the National Crime Statistics Council redefined burglary as a violent crime. See, burglary is supposed to be a person goes into an empty residence or professional building, empty, and steals stuff. The problem is, burglars aren't always the smartest people in the pile, and sometimes they go into residences and professional buildings, commercial buildings, that are not empty, and violence ensues. And there was such an increase in violence from this sort of burglary, where basically the burglar screwed up and went into a building with people in it instead of being empty, they decided to reclassify burglaries as violent crimes. So what this person did is they just used the sheriff's data. There's the 2,100 that they reported before. But now we're going to add up murders and assaults and robberies, but we're also going to add burglary as part of the violent crimes. So this isn't a fair comparison. This isn't a proper comparison because we're looking at murders, assaults, robberies, and burglaries on one hand, and on the other, murders, assaults, and robberies on one hand, but adding up murders, assaults, robberies, and burglary the other time. You have to watch out for fair comparisons because of aggregates. Because the raw data tells you everything went down. How did a category, an aggregate category, go up? They lied. They cheated. They lied with statistics. Here's an interesting example. Take a look at the two white lines. The one white line is multiple measures of happiness before, and the other was measures of happiness after treatment. So we got before and we got after. And if you look at those two white lines, they look kind of similar, sort of a very similar average and kind of have the same flow. But what I'm going to do to show you that my treatment works is I'm only going to show you the orange line. I am showing you before data, I am showing you after data, I am showing you an orange line. But that orange line is not the whole story. It is a misrepresentation of the data that we have, and that partial story is a statistical lie. But without a doubt, and my absolute favorite, the most common way to lie with statistics is only tell part of the story. Tell the part of the story that supports what you want to show. Bold statement. Because behavior is complicated, many statistical analyses of behavior are simplistic, incomplete, and get things wrong. So we've picked some variable that we care a lot about. We care about that variable and how it differs between the two populations. We go get a really good sample. No crap with measurement, no crap with sampling. We get a really good sample of population one and population two. Population one has a higher mean than population two. Now we got to figure out how to interpret that, assign cause, and what it means. Oh, here's what they didn't tell you. Each of these populations can be in one of six different situations. I'm using bland words here on purpose. What happens if we look at how both population and situation lead to that outcome variable? Notice down here, that 22 and a half and 20, there's the same comparison we had on the last page. That's the on average. Well, here you see that it's on average, or maybe even only on average. Two of the six situations show the aggregated result that population one has a higher mean than population two. The situation one effect, 40 versus 15, and the situation three effect, 20 versus 15. But that 20 versus 15 is a huge effect, and it carries the comparison on average. Because if we look at the blue ones, three out of six of the situations have the opposite result, where population one has a bigger mean than population two. And in one of them, situation four is a dead tie. And so here's what you got to remember. Yellow at the bottom. Yellow means pay attention. On average doesn't mean all the time. This is, I believe, the most common way of telling a statistical lie. I tell you about a main effect when there's an interaction between that variable and others. And in 942, we will look very carefully at the process of exploring, describing, and testing for interactions, and we're going to come back to this issue over and over and over again. On average does not mean all of the time.